The Yankees lose 3-2 in 10 innings on Sunday Night Baseball. The romance, the poetry, the fun of playing in Williamsport at the Little League World Series, children in the stands, Yankee players, Jazz Chisholm sitting with the kids, Juan Soto acknowledging the Team Canada, all of it, such a fun environment, and it looked like the Yankees were going to win 1-0. Clay Holmes comes in and blows his 10th save, and to talk about the atmosphere, the game, and what comes next, we bring in Chris Kirschner from The Athletic. He covers the Yankees. He is in Williamsport. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Doing well. It was an exciting day. Obviously, it didn't work out for the Yankees, but it was a really, really cool environment. I was definitely glad to be here.
So let's start with that before we get to, I'm sure it won't surprise you, Chris, that I've had quite a few calls with some suggestions about Yankees closer. So we'll get to that in a moment. But let's start with, for those of us who weren't there and just watching on TV, what, you know, describe the environment in Williamsport at the Little League World Series, and how did today feel different than a typical game?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously more interaction with the fans, and basically every single fan that was at the game tonight, I believe that the attendance was 2532, so obviously a very intimate crowd. But most of the fans in attendance are the teams. So there's 20 Little League World Series teams, and then their families, and then the volunteers who are, you know, at the stadiums and the concession stands. So it was a really cool environment. There wasn't that much action for the kids to go crazy over until, you know, obviously the very end when the game went into extra innings. But it was really cool. You may have seen Jazz Chisholm Jr., the Yankees third baseman, basically spent the entire game hanging out in the bleachers with a fan that he met, with one of the little leaguers he met from the Nevada team. Shortstop, Chisholm's his favorite player. He wears chains like Chisholm. He wears number 2 because of Chisholm. It was really cool. I mean, like, you don't see that often because, you know, the grind of 162, fans aren't as close to the teams, you know, in various stadiums around Major League Baseball. So that made it really cool to see. Like, you don't really, you know, I'm with the team, not every game, but, you know, they definitely interact with the fans, but not as much as they did here in Williamsport.
What was the atmosphere or the fans, the kids, the little leaguers around, and the reaction around Aaron Judge, who next to little leaguers must just absolutely look larger than life?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking about guys who are around like 11 or 12 years old, so they're about 4 feet tall, and Judge is 6'7", so they barely come up to his waist. When the team got to the main complex, so where they actually play the Little League Classic game, is probably about 6 or 7 miles from where the Little Leaguers play. But when he got to the main complex where the Little Leaguers play, he got absolutely mobbed. It was like, you know, Paul McCartney and with the Beatles back in the day. It was just a sea of kids and trying to get autographs and pictures. I mean, it was really, really cool. You know, the one thing I would say is, like, the time that both the Yankees and Tigers players could ultimately spend with the Little Leaguers is very limited, just because, you know, they obviously have to play a game. So maybe moving forward, just to have, like, just a little bit more interaction, like, outside of the game, I think would go a long way for MLB. But just from talking with the players, you know, before the game and even after the game, obviously it was an emotional loss for them, but everyone loved it. You know, they got to meet kids from, you know, China, Japan, Aruba, you know, Nevada, all across the world. So it was a really cool experience for all the Yankees.
Chris, a big story for Yankee fans, of course, was that for this game, Jason Dominguez got called up, made his season debut. He went 0 for 4, three strikeouts, and then double clutches on that play at the end that ultimately is the winning run. And first of all, let's start with that play at the end. What happened there with Dominguez and the double clutch that, as opposed to just throwing home?
Well, we didn't talk to Dominguez after the game to get what exactly happened. I asked Aaron Boone about it, and he hadn't talked to Dominguez at the time when he ended up speaking with the media. So I don't really have an answer of what happened. Obviously, as we all saw, there was some hesitation, some double clutch that happened. He got the ball very quickly, and it seemed like if he was able to, come up firing right away, he may have had a play at the plate. It was a close play, even with the double clutch. So I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know if he had a bad grip at first and he needed the double clutch, but, obviously that was the play that ended up deciding in the Tiger Shaver.
And can you confirm that the plan now is to send Jason Dominguez back down? This was just a one-game thing because they expanded the roster for this game?
Yep, so he's already sent back down to the minors. As I wrote after the game, it's still very unlikely that Dominguez will be with the Yankees in the Bronx before September 1st, which is the date that clubs are able to add one position player and one pitcher. He's certainly on the radar. He's going to be, one of the top options that they choose. One thing that, I'm looking at right now is the Yankees do have Anthony Rizzo and John Birdie, who are two injured players who may be back around that time. So it's certainly going to be interesting to see how the Yankees handle that. The Yankees could certainly just call Rizzo up and send Ben Rice back to the minors. He hasn't gotten results all that much lately. And then for John Birdie, the Yankees could decide to send Oswaldo Cabrera down. And then Jazz Chisholm, who I forgot to mention, is injured, but he likely just replaces Oswald Peraza. So they have some interesting roster decision moves upcoming in the next couple of weeks. But, before September 1st, unless someone gets hurt, Giancarlo, Alex Verdugo, Trent Grisham, I would be surprised if Dominguez is up before September 1st.
Lost in, of course, I'm going to get to the bullpen and Clay Holmes in a moment. Jason Dominguez was a focus, and Little League World Series and Williamsport. Lost in all of that, I thought that Gleyber Torres, if the Yankees, if they close this game down and win 1-0, we would have been talking about a heads-up base-running play by Gleyber Torres, who smartly, paying attention, focused, dialed in, takes off the second that ball, that pass ball happens, wild pitch there, and scores. And it just it struck me that so often we talk about Gleyber and it feels like there's a loss of focus. He doesn't seem as dialed in. I don't think it's laziness or whatever, but that he's not always focused. Here was a situation where we have to give credit. I mean, that was a really good heads-up play by Torres.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I 100% agree, and it's obviously just a footnote of tonight's game. But offense, as we saw, was really hard to come by. Both Tarek Skubal and Marcus Stroman, who started the games for the Tigers and Yankees, both pitched really well. They both essentially gave up zero runs. Skubal gave up the one on that wild pitch that you're talking about, but it wasn't even really like a normal wild pitch. The Tigers catcher, Jake Rogers, they called it a wild pitch, but he, he should have caught the ball.
Yeah.
It dropped. And it only skirted away from Rogers maybe 3 or 4 feet. And like you said, you know, that is a heads-up play from Torres, who is consistently drawing the ire of the Yankee fan base. And that is a play that he absolutely deserves credit for, because that ball didn't get back to the backstop. It was a few feet away. He got a good secondary lead off third and scored. And at the time it was, you know, 1-0. And it looked like, just the way both teams were hitting, that that may have been enough for the Yankees. And, you know, if they ended up winning that game, it's kind of a redemption story in a way for Glaber, you know, who was benched a few weeks ago now for, you know, not hustling. And he's had problems in the past with not hustling. And that is the perfect encapsulation of hustling and being in the moment. And, you know, sadly for him, and, you know, no one's obviously talking about that now.
Yeah. Talked to Chris Kirschner from The Athletic about the Yankees. And you mentioned the other, I thought, big storyline here, which was Marcus Stroman, who, I don't know, you know, his last seven or eight starts had been pitching to an over six ERA, had been terrible. And then the last start out, I thought he was good. The results were good, but he also did get hit hard. There was a little luck of hitting it to where his fielders were, his defense, all of that in the last start. This time, I thought he was terrific tonight. Like, really, that's vintage Marcus Stroman. And so any sense of, you know, it's so hard, but has he refound something that can be consistent, something the Yankees could rely on?
Yeah, I mean, they did move his start back in his prior start a couple days because he was working through mechanical issues. You know, against the Rangers, like you said, I thought he looked good. It wasn't great by any means, but it was encouraging just from where his previous, you know, six to seven starts were. Tonight, I am in a full agreement with you. I thought he looked awesome. Certainly encouraging moving forward. You know, if you want to look at it pessimistically, you know, it is the Detroit Tigers and the Texas Rangers, two teams who have really been struggling offensively. But, you know, you have to play who your opponent is, and Stroman did his job in both of these matchups. It's certainly going to be interesting to see how the Yankees, you know, formulate their postseason roster, because, you know, prior to these past two outings from Stroman, I would have said that he was in jeopardy of certainly not making the postseason roster at all with just how poorly he was performing. So, you know, hopefully he, you know, can continue this. I am definitely interested to see how good he can look against a team that, you know, isn't in the bottom 10 of OPS like the Tigers are. And like I said, the Rangers are struggling. But again, two very encouraging outings just because of how terrible, you know, his previous six to seven were.
All right, Chris, so we have to go there. You're saying the Tigers, well, with Marcus Stroman, but the Tigers are in the bottom 10 in OPS. That's true, but in the very same game, here we have Clay Holmes, and against the same Tigers team, blows his 10th save of the season. And a lot to unpack here, but the first thing that struck me was, I thought Clay Holmes actually had relatively decent control and stuff tonight. And there are Clay Holmes games where you see it and you're like, oh my God, the mechanics, like he has no idea where the ball's going. He's walking the bases loaded and he doesn't have his sinker and this is bad. That was not tonight. He looked pretty good to me, and yet we can't say soft contact. When you line a double down the line, that's not soft contact. He got hit and gave up a run. And so do you chalk up the 10th blown save to that's baseball, Susan? Or do we look at that and say, well, it's problematic even when he has his stuff and this is a bottom 10 OPS team? Your closer is supposed to close it down. It's the 10th blown save.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought he pitched well, and I know fans are probably rolling their eyes at that because it's a line that Aaron Boone frequently uses with Holmes. But I honestly did think he pitched well. Yes, he missed his spot a couple times with his sinker, and you know, the Tigers, to their credit, did work with those pitches. You know, they had the double down the line, and then Jace Young lines the single to left field to tie the game. But, you know, it wasn't – this one definitely wasn't the usual Holmes blown save where it's just soft contact and the ball's finding holes. Like, you know, those two hits they had were legitimate hits.
Yep.
With Holmes in general, you know, it's 10 blown saves. He leads baseball with 10. But, you know, I still believe that Holmes is a good closer, ultimately. Like, the Yankees just don't have many other options. But even besides that point, like, if you look at his numbers and if you look at his metrics, he's pitching well. And sometimes that is just baseball where, you know, teams find holes and, you know, games don't go your way. Tonight was an exception with that, but I'm saying in general with all of his blown saves, for the most part, it's just been soft contact like we saw in Philadelphia. We saw it earlier in the year against Seattle where I think the Mariners didn't even hit a ball out of the infield and he ended up blowing that save. But for the most part, I do think that Holmes is the answer for the Yankees at closer. I just don't know who would be a better option. You know, you can tell me Luke Weaver. He's had his struggles lately. You can tell me Tommy Kahnle. I just think that, you know, for the Yankees to be their best, obviously Holmes has to be the pitcher that his metrics say he is, which is a very, very good closer. And, you know, I know fans may disagree with that, but, you know, I think that's how I see it.
Yeah, I hear you. I look at it and say the one metric that does worry me a little bit would be, besides 10 blown saves, would be the whip. A 1.3 whip for your closer doesn't make me as happy. I really don't want walks and hits, but especially, you know, when he loses that control, the walks, that does worry me. All right, so you're saying no to, because we've got fans proposing everything from Jake Cousins, Luke Weaver, Tommy Kahnle, and then even converting potentially, you know, especially when you get a Clark Schmidt back, do you convert a starter? Is that Luis Gil? Like, what do the Yankees do? And you're saying stay the course.
I honestly do think it's stay the course. You know, you can make an argument for Jake Cousins, but, you know, he doesn't have much experience back there. You know, he just got his first career save the other day against the White Sox. I think he's looked amazing in these past few weeks. His slider is legit. You know, big strikeout numbers on the slider. I just don't know if he can be trusted in, you know, high leverage situations, like as high leverage as they can get. You know, like I said, I think Weaver's done a good job. Kahnle's done a good job. Those are really the only options who you're considering. If you want to talk yourself into Luis Gil, you know, in October or even September, if the division is clinched by then, fine. But, you know, you mentioned high whip, you know, Gil isn't the you know, Pedro Martinez on the mound with elite command either. Mm-hmm. You know, he definitely can struggle with his command, and how many games have we seen from him where, you know, it's 4+ walks. So, you know, I thought about having Gil in the bullpen in October, but, you know, when I thought about it more, it's like, you want guys who can command the ball well. And I just don't know if Gil can be trusted in a one inning or two inning situation. You know, no doubt his stuff is great, but I just don't know if he can command it well enough out of the bullpen. But yeah, so with that being said, if I'm the manager, I'm still trusting Holmes to figure it out. You know, one metric that I think is interesting with Holmes, and it definitely points to some of his struggles that he's had, I believe his BABIP, which is batted balls, batting average on balls in play, for those who don't know, it's way up this year. And when it's way up, you know, that tells me that a pitcher sometimes just has really, really poor luck. And again, I think that's part of what we've seen this year with him.
So you mentioned if you were the manager, I did last one before I let you go. I did think it was interesting listening to Aaron Boone tonight And usually when he gets asked about a player or Clay Holmes, and, you know, is he still your closer? And it's usually very definitive. Tonight, yes. Aaron Boone, after the game, said, yes, he is the closer, but he said, we'll see as we go. Did yep. it sound different to you tonight, and that there may be a conversation happening with Boone, with Cashman, that they may look at other options?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sounded different, and you know, I definitely think it's a good observation by you, because, yeah, we've heard it several times with not even Holmes, but just any other player who might be struggling. This is our guy, 100%, no doubt about it. Don't even ask the question. You're stupid for asking the question. That's how it's how it usually
right.
is. But yeah, tonight it definitely sounded like there may be a conversation. But again, like we're talking about it, and it's like I don't know who the best option even is. Like the Yankees bullpen is weak overall. And, you know, you can say, okay, Holmes could be your eighth inning guy, and then, you know, Weaver or Canley or Cousins, if you want to talk yourself into him, could be the ninth inning guy. But, you know, it's still the bullpen as a whole has been really bad over the past few months. So it's not just Holmes who has to figure it out. It's everybody in the bullpen. You know, if you look at ERA and FIP and whatever metric you want to look at when you're evaluating bullpen performance as a whole, the Yankees are near the bottom since like June 1st, which is when right around their struggles really started. So, you know, you hope that the Yankees can figure it out before October, because right now, I don't know if I trust this bullpen in October to win them, you know, multiple rounds where bullpen performance matters a lot. And there's one stat I did want to mention. You know, last year, obviously, the Texas Rangers ended up winning the World Series. Do you know which team had the most blown saves last year? It was the Rangers. So if the Yankees can figure out their bullpen and get hot, I still think they have enough to win it all. There's not really one great team this year. No team is projected to win even 100 games, which would be the first time to win first time since 2014. So I think the Yankees are still in a fine spot. Yes, it's disappointing that they lost this series against a team against like the Tigers, who's, you know, not making the playoffs. But, you know, look across the MLB. There's just not one great team this year. And I think the Yankees are one of the teams who could possibly win it all.
By the way, I looked up on FanGraphs for the Babbitt, batting average of balls in play, Clay Holmes, and players are batting .341 when they put the ball in play with Clay Holmes. Last year it was .301, and the year before that, when he really was so dominant, they were hitting .262. So, yeah, there's an example. .341 is really a high batting average when the ball is in play.
Yeah, and I believe the league average is around like .290-ish this year, so it's very, very high.
Yeah, so you're saying bad luck to Clay Holmes. I have to tell you, I think that you're not earning points with Yankee fans advocating to leave him in the closer's role. I would tell you, if you want, come on in. The water's warm here at the Change the Closer party. We're testing out a little Cousins, a little Weaver, a little, you know, I shot down Nestor Cortez. That was an option only because I felt like his ERA in first innings this year wasn't good enough really to warrant that. But but anyway, Chris Kirschner from The Athletic in Williamsport. Appreciate you staying up with us. Safe travels back.
Thanks a lot.